This is Packer and Durham on ACCN and SiriusXM Channel 371.
I'm Mark Packer, and I am joined by a Hall of Famer. That would be Wes Durham.
Oh, no.
Hall of Famer. I mean,
thank you very much.
Everybody watching television right now on ACC Network, of the two folks on the screen, only one of us is a Hall of Famer, and it's not me. Look at this. Look at this.
Oh, no.
We're leading off with this right here. Look at Western. PO'd, got another bad call on him. Number 35, your fourth. Oh, wide open in the corner. Count it. You know that's good. And look at this gruesome. Oh, my goodness. Who are the? Everybody getting their hair cut the same place.
Look at the hair.
Much. Yeah.
Look at the hair.
Oh, yeah.
There you go.
And he brings right out there. The jersey. Yeah. You know you're a Hall of Famer when he can just go ahead and just reach
this
over and
fit
grab
anymore.
Your jersey. Well, we knew that. That was a given.
This has, by the way, I want full clarity on this, okay? I want full clarity. When Scott Ferguson, the athletics director at Apex High School, called me and said, and Roy Cooper, who, by the way, not the governor, he's a track and field coach at Apex, they called and said, hey, we would like to induct you into the Hall of Fame. And they said, you know, you got your announcing crowd, did public address for baseball and soccer. Bob Matthews was the coach of both and asked me to do it. And that was kind of fun. And then I paused for a minute when I talked to Coach Cooper and I said, Coach, this has absolutely nothing to do based on my GPA or my scoring average, does it? He said, well, you know, Wes, you've done a lot of things to bring, you know, a lot of recognition to Apex High School since you graduated. And I said, perfect, because I don't want anything about GPA and scoring average to be mentioned. But it's very humbling, and I'm grateful to the people at Apex. It's a special place to me, obviously. And you saw two of my best friends in that picture of us with bad hair and lots of shirts and ties on, Chris Majewski and Eric Edwards. And my high school basketball coach to this day, John Griggs, is still a terrific influence in my life, and I'm grateful for his friendship as well. And it's nice. It's nice. And there's my dad. That's after a JV basketball game, Pack. There's Coach Griggs putting me back on the bench where I belong, by the way. And if the boys were ever to focus in on the scoreboard, you'd see it was late in the game, and I was in, and we were down by 40. And that's Chris on the left and Eric on the right and Coach Griggs in the middle, and that's in our senior year of high school. You like the curls in the hair, Pack?
Yeah.
A lot of curls in that hair.
How many Hall of Fames is this for you, Wes?
Unbelievable. How many Halls of Fame is this?
Yeah.
Two. This is two.
Apex High School and Georgia Tech?
That's correct, yes.
Two. My man's got two. My man, Wes Durham's going, well, left hand, right hand. He's got deuce. I like it.
Stop.
I like it. You know what?
Unbelievable.
I'm looking around.
You guys running those pictures. That makes me feel old.
I mean, I'm looking around the basement right now, and I don't see any Mark Packer Hall of Fame stuff up here. Zero. I mean, not a single thing.
No
dust.
No Mark Packer Hall of Fame?
No, I'm like the South Carolina Athletic Department trophy case, just collecting a bunch of dust over here, man. There's nothing around here. Zero.
Oh,
I mean, even the
gosh.
Gamecocks have like a 1969 wow. ACC football championship in the trophy case. I got nothing. I got zip. I got nothing I can offer to this conversation. Congratulations on that.
Oh, my God. Thank you. I appreciate it. It's very nice. It's very nice to be recognized by your high school. It means a lot. There are a lot of talented. I mean, I played with a lot of really good players that probably deserved to be in the Hall of Fame long before I do. But, you know, it's nice to be recognized for sure.
Name one.
Roy Bird. He was a tremendous point guard. He was like... all area in Raleigh a couple times, and he was great. He's a really good player. He should have been in the Hall of Fame before me, I promise you that.
Can we start the Roy Bird for Apex Hall of Fame campaign on the show? Is that beyond our jurisdiction?
Sure.
It's Roy Bird, right? R-O-Y
sure, why
Bird.
Not?
Yeah. Hey, Apex High School. No disrespect. I have no idea who you people are at Apex. I couldn't even find it on the map. But can we get Roy Bird in the Apex Hall of Fame, please? I mean, Wes Durham's going to have the jacket, parking spot, like all you can eat at Applebee's for the rest of his life when he goes back to Apex. Can we get Roy Bird in the Hall of Fame, please? Do you even know where Roy Bird is, Wes?
What do you mean, Applebee's?
Oh, whatever.
Yes, yes.
Red Lobster. Yes. I mean, all you can eat at Red Lobster for the rest of your life. I mean, whatever the perks are for being in the Apex Hall of Fame. I know there's a long list of things. You get free stuff when you're in a Hall of Famer. But I don't know. So Roy Bird's alive and kicking. We know that for a fact. You know that, Wes?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yes, yes, yes.
All right. Yes. We need to find Roy Bird.
I can tell you where we can find him. It's not hard.
All right. Where is he?
He's a firefighter in Raleigh. He's a firefighter for the Raleigh Fire Department.
Wait a minute. So the guy was a tremendous athlete in high school. He now protects and serves as a first responder, and he's not in the Hall of Fame? Oh, Apex High School. Come
again,
on.
Yes,
what
correct.
What are you doing? Oh, man, we got... Let's,
it's BYRD, by the way, for the graphics people. By the way, it's BYRD.
Let's get Roy Bird.
It's Roy Bird with an R. Why?
Let's get Roy Bird on the show and get him in the Apex Hall of Fame. There's got to be a way to fast-track Roy into the Apex Hall of Fame. All right? And I say that with having absolutely nothing to do with it.
How about my high school coach? We'll put... You want to... Hey, let me lay this on you. If we're going to put anybody on this show, we need to put John Griggs on this show because he coached Roy Bird and he suffered with me. No. And John Griggs, now, Pac, here's the great story about John, okay? John Griggs, my high school basketball coach, later left the high school ranks at Apex and went to work as a professor in the math department at NC State.
Oh.
And later got a PhD. Was later chair of the math department and just recently retired from NC State in the mathematics department. And he and his wife, Tracy, they live in Raleigh, and it's awesome. But he also, now, Pac, you'll like this part. He is part of the official stats crew at PNC Arena when NC State plays basketball. So when I used to go there for Georgia Tech games and then later in television, my high school basketball coach, typically, most nights, sits right across the floor from me.
All right.
And I see him every time I go to Raleigh. And
I like the NC State tie-in. Makes sense. As we're on like a 15-second delay today.
Okay.
I think that...
That's all right.
I think your coach being on would be a nice tie-in, but we've got to get Roy Bird in the Apex Hall of Fame. That's all I'm saying. And I don't know anything about it.
No question.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll get Roy in.
Okay. That sounds good. Guest-wise today, John Curry, Mark Richt are going to join us later in the program. John Curry, Director of Athletics at Wake Forest. That's coming up at the bottom of the hour. And Coach Richt will join us in hour number two. Wes, we had a July 4th holiday, and I hope everybody was safe and smart. I have one beef on to get just off my chest. The girls go to the beach for July 4th every year, and as soon as Mrs. P's Chevy Tahoe leaves the driveway, the thermostat goes to 6.5 in my house because it becomes my house as soon as she leaves the premise. So it's nice and brisk at 65 degrees for the next week, which is beautiful. But it's just me and the dogs for the next week. But July 4th is not a great pet night, and the dogs just despise the fireworks. I'm speaking for a vast majority. And at least you know on July the 4th, that evening, it's going to be a rough night with the pets, just the way it is. So, you know, you turn on every television. I had all kinds of noise going on just to try to make sure they didn't hear the booms and the crackles and the pops and everything else. But my beef is... I can deal with July the 4th, What really is annoying is July the 5th, which was last night, where I guess everybody found like the extra carton, a pallet of fireworks that they forgot that they had hidden and decided, oh, tonight we'll fire these off. Man, I'm not so sure July 5th wasn't worse than July 4th. And you know what? I'm all for celebrating America. I'm as red, white, and blue as anybody and everything else. I got the flag flying, all that cool stuff. But, man, fireworks on the 5th might be the worst night of the year because you kind of hope that maybe everybody just got it out of their system. Maybe folks have jobs that you're going to go to on Monday, so maybe the Sunday night's not going to be crazy. But, man, alive, the fireworks last night, I sound like the old man get off my yard routine, but with two dogs, last night was a nightmare. I'm just going to tell you, a nightmare. So I hope that everybody that purchased a firework, I hope every one of those things, at least in the Carolinas, has been blown to smithereens on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And I just hope tonight we can have a peaceful night, at least in the Charlotte, Mecklenburg County area. That's all I'm going to say.
No, there's a lot now. A lot of people outside Saturday night. Holy smokes.
Well, I understood Friday night because it's a Friday night. We're leading to a holiday weekend. So I was prepared for Friday night. Mm-hmm. I was prepared for Saturday night, obviously. But last night, I was like, oh, man, you got to be kidding me. We going through this again? I mean, surely you found enough time to blow all these things up on Saturday. But, man, the hounds are exhausted, man. Chester and Fuller are just like, they're wiped out. I mean, they are just, they're sitting here like floor mats right now. They've been that way for a day and a half. Look at them. There they are. Knocked out. There's Chester.
Oh,
there
look at
there.
Green room. Hey.
Yeah. Fuller's down there by my feet. And yes, I am wearing pants today, so we're safe on that front. But the boys are worn out, man. The fireworks the fireworks in 2020 just wore the hounds out. Just telling you. They're beat.
Yeah. All right. So we'll check in on everybody's firework inventory over the last couple of days. We'll take some calls at 844-SAY-ACCN. John Curry, the director of athletics at Wake Forest, going to join us bottom of the hour. Mark Rick in the 9 o'clock hour. And also before we're done today, over the weekend, Zion Williamson became the latest. Oh, wait a second.
I forget Zion a second. This is more important than Zion. Hold on for Zion. Let me tell you what. I got a delivery this weekend. And this is going to be the start. We just called out Roy Bird. We want Roy Bird in the Apex High School Hall of Fame. We're now going to call out the entire Atlantic Coast Conference, all right? Because we're going to do a public service announcement on our show every day. And it starts with our first school who sent us a FedEx package, Wes. Here's what we got. It comes from NC State.
They can't have nice things.
No, NC State. Here's what they sent. All right. Now, here's what we want from every Atlantic Coast Conference school. We want a mask.
Yep.
All right. We want a mask. So this is what they sent. This looks more like a, This looks
Sent the gator. The gator.
Yeah.
That's what they sent. No, that's the gator.
This is nice, right?
Yeah.
I would put it on, but you know what?
Yeah.
Probably not going to work. But this is what we want. NC State right here getting it done. First up, Wolfpack Nation. So we're asking every ACC school to send your best face guard, face mask, gator, whatever it is you think that, you know what, it showcases who we are. So NC State's first in. They're the leader in the clubhouse, right? And again, do your part. Be smart moving forward. If you want college football, you want sports, you want life to get back to whatever the new normal is going to be, do your part doing your thing. So we're going to do a double cross promotion that we want every ACC school to send to us your best look for protection. All right. So there it is. That's a good start right there, NC State. I like that.
Packer and Durham. Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
John Curry, Director of Athletics, coming up here in about 15 minutes. We look forward to that a great deal. All right, we've addressed fireworks. We got cool gear from NC State. They're the leader in the clubhouse. They want every single Atlantic Coast Conference school to partake. Send us your best face mask, all right? It's important. Cross promotion. All right, Wes, it's time for branding ACC style, and currently the league, in terms of star power, even at, even while in college, is impressive. But going to the next level, the league is taking it to the next level.
I mean, Pac, the two highest-selling sports video games are Madden and NBA 2K. They're put out by separate companies. EA Sports puts out Madden, and NBA 2K is put out by 2K Sports. And they're going to have ACC. Now, the Madden deal is a singular cover. NBA 2K21 is actually going to have three versions. Zion will be on one, Damian Lillard on one, and Kobe Bryant on one. But they're all different editions of the game. But the fact that two ACC guys are going to be on the covers is remarkable. Now, it's happened where you've had an ACC guy 1 year, like in the Madden game, Calvin Johnson was on the cover. Michael Vick's been on the cover of Madden. Everybody knows about the Madden curse with injuries and whatnot. But the 2K game has featured Kyrie Irving, obviously an ACC player in the past and things like that. But to have two ACC guys on the headline games in the same year, that's a pretty good lick for the league, to be honest with you. That's kind of like the new magazine cover, if you will, which is never a bad thing, right?
Correct. And, you know, if I said to you, who do you think the face of college football is right now from a player's perspective, is there any doubt that it's Trevor Lawrence at Clemson? I mean, there's another high-profile marketing guy right there in front of you. And, again, we're not going to go to name, image, and likeness till we get John Curry on here. But, you know, when you go through the list right now of the stars of stars across the board, you think college basketball. I still think coaches, when it comes to college hoops, in this day of the one and done, it's kind of hard to just kind of jump everybody on somebody's back as a player because they don't stay long enough. But, you know, is there any doubt? We're talking about Coach K, Roy Williams, and Jim Boeheim. I mean, the league's got the ultimate collection of Hall of Fame all-stars when it comes to college coaches and basketball. And you know, I even think the PGA Tour. I know Bryson DeChambeau just won by hitting it 399 yards every time he looks at it. But, you know, a guy like Brooks Koepka right now on the PGA Tour is termed of winning major championships. Again, he's a Florida State guy. The league right now is producing the stars of stars across the board. I mean, it's really been impressive. And again, we get a bit in a situation from a fan's perspective that we get spoiled, quite frankly, by watching all these great student athletes go on to the next level and take care of business. I haven't even talked about guys like Deshaun Watson or Nuke Hopkins and all those kind of guys. I mean, that list can go on and on and on as well.
I think what you're also talking about is you're talking about guys who, in some respects, you're dealing with Nuke Hopkins, Trevor Lawrence. You've got Dabo and Coach K, Roy Williams, right? I mean, from a national perspective in coaching. I think I keep coming back to guys that played in this league, and I know the whole Wisconsin NC State thing exists with Russell Wilson, but Russell Wilson and Matt Ryan are probably right there in the discussion about quarterbacks in the National Football League, too. And then you talk about longevity, and Phillip Rivers, even though he's going to Indianapolis, is a guy whose name automatically comes up. But I think when you talk about marketability, you know, Russell Wilson is clearly in that conversation in the National Football League. I think, you know, Matt Ryan is on that list as well, especially for what he's doing now, just from a social justice standpoint and things like that here in the Atlanta area, along with the recognition he's gotten nationally from it. But I think the ACC's done a marvelous job of, you know, these guys going next level and understanding where their platforms are, be it just covers of video games or statements or shoe lines or apparel, any of those things, Pac. I think it all kind of joins together in some respects, and the ACC's got a lot of different guys who are making waves in that. And not to mention, you know, I say, you know, exclusively men, but there are also personalities on the women's side, too, in athletics that also have an impact as well.
And we haven't even mentioned this guy by the name of Jordan, who's done a pretty good job from a branding perspective. I mean, seriously, it's kind of crazy when you start taking inventory of the ACC from a worldwide brand standpoint with these individuals that we saw play in this conference. And like I said, we get spoiled because we've had them for so long. It's almost every decade there's the next wave of great superstar that goes on the incredible things as a professional athlete. And you mentioned, Wes, it's not just the guys. The ladies take care of business in this department too. But, you know, we again, as fans of this league who've been watching it for a long, long time, or maybe you're a young person that doesn't even remember watching Michael Jordan play. In fact, it's funny. I had a conversation the other day. Cornbread Maxwell, who's an old buddy of mine, was a cohort on an old primetime show. He called me up out of the blue the other day. We must have talked for an hour. We were crying. We were laughing so hard, just reminiscing. And I remember Cornbread, again, this had to be almost 20 years ago, said, "Pac-Man, let me tell you something. There's going to be a day where everybody forgets Michael Jordan." And I was like, "Man, get out of here with that weak take. What are you talking about?" He goes, "Oh, man, he'll stop playing, and, you know, there'll be the next wave of great players." Well, from that perspective, he's right. There's Kobe. There's Shaq. There's LeBron. I mean, the list goes on. There's Zion. I mean, you go through the list. Whoever you want to add to that list. But yet, at the end of the day, here we are in 2020 from an NBA perspective. And when you mention Jordan, everybody knows. You remember either as a player or if you're somebody young enough that said, "I don't ever remember watching him play. But you know what? I've got 20 pairs of his shoes up there in my closet." So from a branding perspective, he might be the guy that's kind of cornered the market from that standpoint. Not only was he a great player, but also what he's been able to do from a business standpoint, taking it to another level.
Well, and I think, too, the inspiration of his branding has created the branding lines of other people, whether it's LeBron James, Kevin Durant, all these other guys that have, quote, apparel lines, be it shoes or athletic gear or whatever the case may be. It also stretches to what we started talking about here, and that is your face in an endorsement with a marketable item that one of your companies does not control, 2K or EA Sports in this case, with the Madden video game or the NBA game. I mean, and that's the other part about PAC. When we joke about name, image, and likeness, and we're not going there, that's the one thing that I found out during the pandemic is how wildly popular the discontinued EA Sports NCAA college football video game has become. And that's one of those things where on the secondary market, that game, which was retail like $50-$60, is selling for like five times that. It's crazy. And to be honest with you, I think that's one of the things that college fans, and I'm not saying it's a majority of the market, but there are some college fans that want that college football video game back. They like the game. They want that kind of notoriety about their school. And to me, I guess I'm crazy. I think it's too easy to do, and that's why they're not doing it. But it would only, in my mind, increase the marketability of some of these guys going forward into their professional careers, to be honest.
What shocks me is in this day and age of the consumer, where if there is a demand that's high enough, you automatically get it. I mean, it just seems like somebody from a capitalistic standpoint would go, "Hey, wait a minute. If there's such a demand for this, why are we not doing it?" Again, I don't play that stuff, so that's a whole different universe for me.
Right.
But I understand the business concept of it. And again, if the demand's high enough, I'm just stunned that somebody's been able to put that thing on the back burner and put it on the shelf and said, "No, we're not going to give it to you," because that normally happens in a millisecond in this country.
Packer and Durham. This is the Packer and Durham podcast.
Mark Richt, the coach, will join us about an hour from now. But now let's go to the road. Let's hit the road with John Curry, shall we? The athletic director at Wake Forest. There he is with his daughter,
look,
Gigi, at the wheel. Boy, no pressure, Gigi. Both hands on the wheel. 10-2. You got serious
she's
cargo
good.
In there.
She's got a kid there, you know. This is a North Carolina trained 17-year-old driver.
I like
it. You've heard of that song, "Jesus Take the Wheel." I got Gigi Take the Wheel.
I like it. Yeah, we both have Gigi's, and they're the best drivers in the family, I can assure you. All right, before we get started
There's
with this
no
interview,
question.
I gotta pick a bone with you about something. You ready?
Fire away.
All right. I saw a picture of you the other day wearing a Roll the Quad mask, which I thought was one of the coolest masks I've seen so far. Now, NC State has just delivered the first, we want a mask from every school in the ACC because it's important for everybody to mask up. So I am requesting from you the very best you've got from Wake Forest to be displayed on the show. And I will tell you, the Roll the Quad mask the other day was outstanding. That was an A-plus effort.
Well, we'll get Will Pantages, who I'm sure is watching the show right now, to make sure he follows up on that.
Love it.
John, what's the biggest concern on the 6th of July for an athletic director right now?
Well, number one problem is safety of athletes. So as we have students coming back, all of our focus is on that. But as well, as we've talked with our student athletes, there are a bunch of people at a university that are there to serve them. Cafeteria workers, custodians, certainly trainers, strength and conditioning coaches, et cetera, all of whom may have higher risk factors than maybe an 18 to 22-year-old. So part of our request and our pledge together is to take care of each other by being smart about how we go about social distancing and other activities.
John, given all the news that we get, and I think it's one of the things from fans' perspective, you get so much information you don't know. Is that good news, bad news? Where are we? I'm just going to put you on the spot. Give me some good news. If you're a college football fan, whether you're a Wake Forest fan, an Oregon Ducks fan, whatever the case may be, give me some good news that you can say, hey, here's something we can kind of put our arms around and go, all right, we can build on this.
Well, the good news for Wake Forest is we got the best football program in the state of North Carolina. We're the only FBS program with the same coach for the last 4 years, who's been to four straight bowl games, has a 990 graduation success rate and a 990 APR. So that's some good news. But I've been really encouraged with our student athletes and how they have taken their responsibilities. We have tremendous young people at Wake Forest. They've been actively engaged in this process of figuring out how to return and how to come back. They've also been very active in the social justice initiatives that we already had going at Wake Forest, but this time has put even more emphasis on those. As far as, you know, COVID-19, I mean, this is a decathlon going from the beginning of March when we first hit this thing to now. And the reason I say it's a decathlon is originally we thought it might be a marathon, right? But it's a decathlon because, like, every event is different. And so we get through two or three or four events, and the next event is a totally different set of skills. So we figured out how to get our students and student-athletes back to campus. Wake Forest has made an announcement about being back open for hybrid residential learning this fall. And so when people say, well, are we going to play football on September 6th? I don't know the answer to that question. It's kind of like the 1,500-meter run, right? It's the 10th event on the decathlon. Right now, I don't even know where my running shoes are. I'm worried about our student-athletes today being safe as we continue to ramp up the support systems that will be necessary to make it through the next month.
Okay, in terms of the decathlon, did that make the remainder of March, a lot of April, and early May critical to build in levels of what it could be as opposed to what it will be? Because you had to be prepared for a lot of different things if you were even going to bring kids back to campus, if you were going to go through testing. And not to mention, John, 85% of the talk, 90% of the talk is about football, but there are other fall sports you also have to be considering as well in this process, right?
Mm-hmm. Well, you're exactly right, Wes. And when you think about, like, men's and women's soccer at Wake Forest, which are national championship caliber sports, or field hockey, those athletes to compete safely in late August and September from a cardiopulmonary standpoint or a musculoskeletal standpoint, those athletes have to train. And so figuring out how to get that training started is critical to be able to get to the point that we play intercollegiate games, if that is feasible at that moment in time. But if you don't start with the fitness stuff that we've started now, you can't have a season come late August or September. So it's very much a solve this problem today and then solve the problem for tomorrow and solve the problem after that. Now, certainly at the same time, to your question, we're doing active scenario planning all the time, and that includes scenario planning on different configurations of fans returning to the stadiums.
By the way, if Gigi wasn't cool enough, she went shades and then she took the shades off. So, I mean, she's just... Again, she gave us a quick wink, so she's getting the job done.
Eyes on the wheel, Gigi.
That's it. you know, we had your man Dave Clausen on last week. We also had your new basketball coach, Steve Forbes. And, man, I have not had a chance to meet him personally, But, man, great sense of humor. Seems to have it completely under control from that perspective. But the job that's in front of him and the importance of him getting off to a great start. Walk us through the Steve Forbes process when it came from your side, John.
Well, what Steve Forbes is a lifelong educator who's devoted his entire career to helping students and student athletes. And he's built that career on great relationships. And so you talk to people across the country, they know Steve Forbes is a genuine person who truly cares about his student athletes and the people he works around. And so that makes, you see April 30th on the screen, until the last day, until today, as we start to have some basketball players coming back, Coach Forbes has actually never met his players face-to-face. He's met a few face-to-face, but most of them it's been Zoom and all that kind of stuff. So you think about the challenge in retaining and then building a team and how that's been impacted by COVID. He's really done a heroic job of, along with his staff, of being connected with his players. But, you know, a lot of times a coach, I remember when we hired Coach Weber at K-State, you know, we had a press conference at noon, and he was working out players at 3 o'clock, you know, trying to get to know them better. So our staff has not had that luxury, but because of his experience, he's been able to develop some good relationships. He's built a great staff here at Wake Forest. They trust each other. They work well together, and they're getting after it.
John, you and I exchanged text not long after this whole thing started, where you told me it's about the can and not the cannot, right?
Right.
How does that continue as we get closer to the fall?
Well, we still have our can committee trying to figure out how we can do things instead of just figure out what we can't do. So we're continuing to work very hard on that. Obviously, one of the big challenges everybody wants to talk about is sourcing testing for student athletes. I believe that will be something that's necessary as we get into August and into the season. The ACC has put together a really outstanding medical safeguards committee that's making recommendations to the commissioner and the ADs that ultimately will be approved by the board of directors of our league, including our president, Nathan Hatch. And the other thing I think our league has done that's been done very well, Commissioner Swofford and his staff, you know, they put together several different video conferences and teleconferences with student athletes from different sports. So two football players from every school participated in that a while back, as well as basketball athletes, Olympic sport athletes, so that the athletes could be on the phone or the Zoom call with each other and hear different perspectives. And so the conference staff and the other athletes could hear that athletes truly do want to come back and get back to being around their teammates and getting ready for their seasons. Now, the other thing we have to remember is no athlete has to come back. And Coach Clawson and all of our coaches have been very clear. If there's an athlete that's uncomfortable with concerns about COVID or anything else like that, that doesn't impact their scholarship or their place on the team or those types of things. So this is very much a voluntary kind of we're all in it together approach.
John, we just did a segment on branding and how many big time worldwide ACC student athletes have gone on to the next level and have just done incredible things. Name, image, and likeness is coming. And it's a topic while we have all the racial and social unrest and those topics and the platforms for student-athletes. Obviously, COVID is front and center. Name, image, and likeness is also front and center. Curious your position as we speak today on July the 6th of where we are from an ACC perspective, a Wake Forest perspective, and big picture with name, image, and likeness in this country.
Well, you know, there's a lot of subjects and topics that have been kind of put to the side burner, at least in public perception, since the whole COVID thing broke. For instance, this time last year, if we were talking about health and safety of athletes, we'd be talking about concussions, right? When's the last time you heard somebody talk about concussion safety? Right. I can assure you that is still on the minds of our athletic training staff and our coaching staffs every day. You know, from an image and likeness perspective, I'm all for continuing to enhance the value of the collegiate athletics experience, just like it's been expanded over the term of my career. If you look at where we've come, 5 years ago is when we created the autonomy separation in the NCAA, which enabled us to have the cost of attendance stipend. Our student athletes at Wake Forest who live off campus, in addition to their full scholarship, have about a $2,200 monthly check for cost of attendance and housing support. That's a pretty good deal. We do need to continue to expand the name, image, and likeness opportunities, but we have to do it in a way that doesn't destroy the overall enterprise. So, for instance, Amelia Migliaccio, our elite All-American women's golfer, who was also the president of our student athlete advisory committee. Amelia wrote a novel. She self-published a novel last year. So technically right now, without a waiver, she can't sell that book because somewhere in the foreword, she references that she's an elite golfer and a collegiate golfer. So things like that, the ability for athletes to build their brands stronger is something we have to continue to expand.
All right. The most important question we have remaining for you in this visit is when this ends right now, in the next couple minutes, when this interview ends and you go back to riding with Gigi in the car, who controls the music?
Gigi's already got a podcast lined up. I'm actually going to shift to athletics senior staff meeting on the Zoom. So we have a very appropriate, we're together, but we're separate, you know, so we're kind of doing our own thing. So you know how much, Mark, you got a Gigi. Mark, you got a Gigi of your own. So you know that they like to be with you, but they also kind of like to be in their own world.
Yeah, they started social distancing long before it became chic, quite frankly. that's how that deal worked. By the way, speaking of Gigi, here's the most important question. She's getting to be to the point where it's almost time to start determining, hey, where am I going to go spend the next 4 years of my career from a college standpoint? Have we narrowed down the list, John, with Gigi or not?
Well, certainly there's a little, I basically told her she's not allowed to go to Wake Forest. She has to go away. She cannot go to Wake Forest. It's banned. She cannot go. And she called me out for my reverse psychology pretty quickly. But Clemson is on the list, Mark. So I expect you to abide by all the rules, honestly. You know, no funny business, no satchel jobs, no nothing like that, okay?
No.
She's got to make her own decision without any outside influence from prominent Clemson boosters.
Well, all I will say is as soon as she said anything about Wake Forest, she cut her eyes at you. So I can already tell. I got news for you, Coach. You better get that Zoom meeting.
She's got a Wake Forest mask on.
Hey, John, here's what you really got to hope. You got to hope that you get the same discount that Jim Clements gives Mark Packer. Pack, what kind of discount is that again?
That would be zero.
That's exactly right.
Zero. President Clements, I've already put
AD tax.
Yeah, here's the deal. I've already put one daughter, 4 years, all out of state tuition. That one's done. He can't help you on that one. So here's Emerson. She's a rising senior. Not one time has President Clements helped me out on this. Not one single time. Zero.
Mark, there's no greater gift you can give your children than investing in their education.
Oh, yeah. Well, great. That's terrific. That's why I've been eating beans. Yeah. So I've been eating beans for the last 3 years.
Whatever it takes.
That's it.
That's exactly
right. Well, be careful.
They're going to have to take care of you when you're old, man. So you better make sure you're doing them right.
Hey, I'm already old. Come on, man. I've reached the finish line on old. I'm already there.
Hey, John, thanks a ton. Always great to catch up with you. We look forward to seeing you again soon.
All right, Wes. You, Mark, take care. Look forward to seeing you soon.
Good job, Gigi.
All right. Yep, Gigi did a great job driving the car. John Curry, the director of athletics at Wake Forest. Always fun to catch up with him. Interesting sidebars about the discipline of the student athletes, Mark, when they're coming back to campus to understand the support people and how that's been messaged and how seriously the young people are taking it too, who are now coming back to the Wake campus to get ready for the upcoming athletic season.
Wes, this is such a complex issue. There's so many layers that have to be addressed. Mm. And sometimes it can feel overwhelming, I think, that especially if you're a parent who has a child going to college, whether they're experienced or going as a freshman. I'm sure you're going, oh, my gosh, what are they walking into? And here we are trying to figure out, are we going to have a college football season and when it's going to start, how long it's going to be. But the undertaking from these athletic directors and school presidents and commissioners has just been sensational in terms of, hey, let's make sure everybody is 100% safe and healthy. It's got to be priority number one.
Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
Packer and Durham on a Monday. Many thanks to John Curry, director of athletics at Wake Forest. More importantly, his daughter Gigi, making sure that the hardware gets to its appropriate destination. You know, it's a lot of pressure. You think about that, Wes. You know, and again, if you're a parent, you know how nervous you get when your kids get behind the wheel, right? How about your kids behind the wheel during a national television interview? Just let that marinate a second. Gigi had no problem. She had the glasses. She cut her eyes a couple times. Like, come on, Dad, you're wasting. You're bothering me, Dad. She gave you the bother me, Dad wince
exactly.
A couple times. Remember that one? So pretty cool job by Gigi on that front. Oh, so nevertheless, Mark Richt coming up at 9:30. But we have a topic that only you're going to find on ACC Network, and that's the one that we're getting ready to get into.
When's the last time you thought about spit in a marching band?
How about never, ever?
Well, it has become a topic with marching bands and how they're going to come back from the pandemic, because the National Collegiate Band Directors Association is concerned about saliva and spittle on some of their instruments as it relates to the transmission of the coronavirus. Are woodwind and brass instruments potential causes for transmission? Music has been involved in several super spread events, reportedly. There's 74 organizations, PAC, including band directors associations from every Power Five conference and the Florida Music Education Association, have donated to fund a pair of scientific studies starting up at the University of Colorado and the University of Maryland as it relates to what we can find out about potential transmission of the coronavirus through the spittle of marching bands.
I did read that both Florida State and Clemson are going to move their indoor rehearsals outside. Now, while we all as fans are trying to figure out, number one, when the season's going to start, will it include fans? If so, how are we going to do this? I mean, there are so many questions with no answers yet. I think John Curry pointed that out in our interview. Again, anybody that says they know exactly what's going to happen, they have no idea what they're talking about. This is a work in progress. But if you've given it some thought, what are the bands going to look like come this pandemic, assuming that they're going to be allowed in the stadium? I have no idea, Wes, no earthly idea.
But when I saw this topic pop up
for this show today, I just started laughing, thinking, you know, well, I mean, it's got to be addressed, but I haven't given it any thought whatsoever. Zero.
Right. And that's exactly what most people probably have not given it any thought. But yet, when you start to think about it, they're not wrong. It has been rumored that music and concerts and singing and so forth have caused the transmission of the coronavirus. Makes sense, then, that you would study how it might be, you know, passed through a marching band, right? I mean, and again, I hate to get back to the cost of this and the testing and all that, pack, but it all comes back to it. I mean, it all comes back to, until there's a vaccine, what are we going to be able to accomplish? And here's a really good example. I mean, in all honesty, this is a really good example of the kind of new normal we may have to be dealing with.
I mean, can you imagine, Wes, a marching band of 300 members, give or take, everybody 6 feet apart, lined up in a stadium during a game? I mean, as crazy as all this is, it's stuff that needs to be addressed one way or the other as we move now within 60 days of kickoff, assuming that you would think that we can kick off at a regular time. It's got to be done, got to be figured out one way or the other, but my goodness, it just goes to show you, again, the layers of complexity of this issue in trying to keep everybody safe and healthy.
Right. And this is not the last we're going to hear of this. It's not the last we're going to hear about cheerleading or any of the other activities that you consider just to be part and parcel of the college football experience, right? And this is not an ACC exclusive. This is certainly nationwide and really at any level. And, you know, in the days ahead, we'll have more about this, but it's an interesting, it's a thought that probably most people had not been given a lot of concerned too, because they've been thinking about the bigger issue, and that's the game and the players and the practices and coaches and just kind of continuing the tradition of college football. But we'll pass along more information as it becomes available. This is a fascinating little dynamic, and athletic departments like John Curry's are having to think about, what am I going to do with the band, and how's the band going to be impacted? You remember when Dan Radakovich told us a year or so ago that, hey, now we got to think about putting the band on a plane to get them out west to the Fiesta Bowl. I mean, come on. It's real.
And how about the trickle-down effect to high schools? I mean, we're sitting here talking about institutions that have, you know, commas in budgets, at least two commas in budgets. How about high schools and the trickle-down effect that this is going to have across the board on your Friday nights across the land? Again, we're living in such a fascinating time, and that's why I keep going back to anytime I see and hear somebody talk about a definitive response to college football, mm-hmm. I just laugh and go, man, come on, you're a clown act if you're going to go there, because right now nobody has an answer. I mean, everybody's working hard to get answers, but there is no definitive answer today on July the 6th. There is not.
And pack it, and let's be honest, even people who you and I have talked to who know that at some point a decision has to be made, a real decision, a stop or go decision, knows that we've still got a few weeks of time. You know, maybe you got 5 weeks, maybe you got, you know, 4.5, whatever the case may be. And again, we talk about the leadership of the communication, all the things that are going with this. That's how you know that this next month is really, really important, but it also, there's still time. And that's the important aspect to remember. And I think a lot of people have kind of just wanted to proclaim things here in the last 10 days. And, you know, while it doesn't look good from a numbers situation, there's still time. And that's the thing people have to understand, I think, before they go, you know, make outlandish statements about what will or what will not happen as it relates to the fall semester in college athletics.
Yeah, the whole hot take thing to get more clicks has become tiresome and kind of boring, quite frankly. It's time to do your job, and that includes all of us, whether you're on the air or, more importantly, off the air, being safe and smart. Mm-hmm. And hopefully we will get sports back at some point in time. But it's going to take some time, but we've got to do our part. We got to be smart moving forward. But enough with the hot takes. And let me tell you, it's 82%. You don't know squat, man. Just be quiet and do your job and quit worrying about all that nonsense.
The Packer and Durham Podcast.